You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Alan.
Hello, Devin.
Hey, guys.
How y'all doing today?
Swell and dandy.
Beautiful. I'd ask Devin, but Devin and I have just sat and watched Windows updates take place for 2 hours, and we're not very happy with Windows right now.
I am so happy.
No.
It is a spring morning, and you know what, guys? Let's just get right to it.
Yes.
We are in the postseason.
Yeah, let's do it. You want to start with the Jazz? I know you do, John, and I have some things to contribute to this because I did my homework till 1 last night, but start us off. What do you want to do?
Yeah, I guested on a Thunder podcast yesterday to help them preview the showdown, and it was interesting to get perspective from the other side as well. Consider how we got here. You have the Thunder who added Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, and they have one game improvement on where they were last year. Then you have the Jazz who lost George Hill, Rodney Hood, Gordon Hayward, Joe Johnson, etc., and yet they're still only three games below where they were last year. They were the fifth seed last year. They're the fifth seed this year. And they're arguably a much better defensive team this year. So I'm feeling pretty good about their chances against the Thunder. I was looking at 538, and they list the Thunder as a 52% chance. But I think that's really because they favor the home team in every series. So
I would agree with that. So delve a little deeper for a moment. I have some notes and numbers to throw out here about this series and about the comparison between the two series. But I want you to delve a little deeper for a moment about this podcast you did. What kind of things are they're pretty confident the Thunder are going to win, right? I mean, I would assume they'd have to be that way.
No, they have trepidation. In fact, at the end, when we all did our predictions, there was three of them. And one of them sided with me in thinking the Jazz were going to win the series. So okay. They believe they can do it, but they're not Houston level cocky about it. They understand it's going to be a tough road ahead. They also understand that you can't really look at the series to, you know, get information from it because all of the games were played before Christmas. So,
right. So,
and I told, go ahead.
No, you told them what?
Well, I told them of all the teams 4 through 8, the one that I was the most nervous about, curious about was the Thunder because we really don't know how they're going to go up against them.
Okay. So, on that note, you're going to be proud of me. I was up till 1. I pulled out some quick notes here. I've already read them to Devin, so he knows about it. I want you to hear this. I did a comparison between last year's Clippers, this year's Thunder, and a comparison heading into the series between these two teams. Okay, you already talked about the Jazz being three games off of last year's pace. The Jazz Clippers last year were tied at 51 games. The Jazz Thunder were tied at 48. Going deeper, The Clippers' points per game last season, 108.7, and they allowed 104.4. The Thunder this year, 107.9, and they allowed 104.4. Last year, their pace of play, the Clippers at 96. Wouldn't you know it, the Thunder, 96. That last year going into the series, everybody was trepidatious on the Jazz side because the Clippers had owned the season series 3-1, winning by an average of 14 points. This year, the Thunder have won the season series 3 out of 4 by an average of 16 points. Things are starting to look eerily reminiscent of each other. All right, so now you look at their offensive rating, 112 for the Clippers last year, their defensive rating 108. This year, the Thunder 110, defensive rating 107. Then I started going into the minutes and games logged by some of the key players. This is where there's a difference. This year's Thunder team, their bench doesn't have nearly the contribution playoff experience-wise that last year's Clippers team did. But the five starters this year logged more games and more minutes than the entire Clippers starting lineup last year. A lot of similarities I looked at and just went. And then, of course, like you mentioned, the notable drop-offs. Jazz had Boris Diaw with 108 games of playoff experience, Joe Johnson with 101 games of playoff experience, George Hill 75 games of playoff experience, totaling 283 games. This year, your notable contributors for the Jazz are Jay Crowder and Jonas Jerebko with playoff experience, 57 games. Beyond that, you've got a younger, much younger, less experienced Jazz team this year than you did last year.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that when we went over strengths and weaknesses, that was one of the weaknesses I brought up, was just the lack of playoff experience. All the guys that were on the team last year have it, but all of the guys that left and of the ones that come in, that's the drastic change in playoff experience. And I think that matters to an extent.
I think it does too. You shifted out Gordon Hayward, Joe Johnson, and George Hill and replaced them with Royce O'Neal, Donovan Mitchell, and Jay Crowder. That's some stark realities, some big differences.
And I'll admit it does play a role, but honestly, I think that playoff experience is one of the most overstated statistics.
Is it though?
In basketball. I think it is.
I mean, look at last year.
I'm going to tell you why though.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you why. Because this Jazz team had their backs up against the wall back in January, and we didn't think they were making the playoffs. You know, they've been basically playing playoff games, it seems like, for how many months now? And the way that they have come together and really hit their stride, they've done it at the right time. And the concern is usually, well, who's going to be clutch? Who's going to be your Joe Johnson? You know, who's got that veteran mentality? And wouldn't you know it, it's your rookie.
Right.
His fourth quarter scoring.
But here's my alternative argument to that. And John, I want your thoughts on this. But Joe Johnson last year played a third of the amount of games the entire starting lineup of the Clippers in playoff experience and had a third of the minutes logged. That's a lot. And look at what Joe Johnson was. He was invaluable in that first-round matchup against the Clippers, both in versatility and his closing ability and veteran savvy down the stretch. The Jazz have Donovan Mitchell, but he doesn't have that closing veteran savvy in the playoffs ability because he hadn't been there. That's my biggest concern right now, is that this is a Jazz team that's wildly inexperienced. And I disagree with you because I think that experience in playoffs matters. John?
Okay. So I say it matters. We just don't know to what degree. The next one thing to go over is starting lineup comparisons.
Okay.
You have Westbrook on Rubio. Right. Rubio's a good defender, and he's having the best shooting year of his career, but Russ obviously has the edge there. Starting shooting guard, they're anticipating Corey Brewer will be able to play in game one. And while Brewer's a good defender, he's just not much of a threat on offense, and I think Mitchell will be able to get some steals off of him and stuff. So, you know, Mitchell has the clear edge there. Small forward, Paul George is a really good two-way player. Joe Ingles is a sneaky good player, but you have to give the edge to Paul George there. And they also believed that there's going to be a lot of times where Paul George is going to be guarding Mitchell, and they'll slide Brewer over to Ingles. At the fourth spot, you have Melo versus Favors. I think Favors can do okay against Anthony. I think Anthony will want to score on him a lot, but I just bet he's just not going to be very efficient, and I'm okay with the more they give the ball to Melo, the happier I am.
But don't you think that Melo can attack Favors probably better than – I mean, you're going to get Favors on the blocks on one end, but on the other end, isn't Favors a little bit vulnerable trying to guard Melo in one-on-one matchups?
I don't think Favors is going to shut down Melo, but I think he'll be able to bother him enough that, you know, Melo's going to have games where he scores 21 points on 22 shot attempts. And if Favors gets into foul trouble early, then you have Crowder who might be able to do an even better job on Melo. So,
well, and I think Crowder's going to see more time on him too. I think that matchup's going to happen a lot.
Yeah, and Melo's always been disinterested on defense, so we could see a lot of Favors dunks.
Right. Okay. Devin?
Adams versus Gobert. My thought was that both guys are going to try to get the other one in foul trouble early, because Adams is probably one of the least favorite guys of Gobert to go up against.
Right.
Whereas Gobert is going to be able to take away a lot of Adams' scoring. He gets most of his scoring off of pick and rolls and missed shots. So
the one thing that concerns me is Adams' ability to block out. And the one area where Gobert struggles this year is when you've got guys like Adams and other guys in the paint that do their best to keep Gobert away from the rim. And we've seen that in matchups with them. In fact, Adams is one of those guys too, that if the ref let him play, we might get away with a few, you know, holding Gobert down and away from the rim and not getting the calls. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a curious matchup alone for me to watch. Devin?
Oh, the Adams Gobert matchup is the biggest concern that I have.
Why do you have a concern though? I mean, John gave some positives on that. Why do you concern?
Because Rudy just seems to struggle with the size and the aggressiveness that Adams brings. I mean, the guy's a bear in the paint. So it could be a big foul situation, but I think Rudy's just going to struggle with his size.
See, that goes back to, I think it depends on how the refs call it too, because Adams, in matchups with the Jazz before, Adams has been one of those guys that gets away with a few things around the rim against Gobert, and I wonder how tight officials are going to call that for a while. And likewise, on the reverse, how often are they going to call Rudy on things and give the advantage to Adams on the offensive end?
But when it comes down to it, I worry about Adams. Westbrook is going to be a struggle because the Jazz point guards seem to struggle a little bit when it comes to the quick athletic guards. And when you're talking about quick athletic guards, there's no one better than Russ. That's just the fact.
Right.
And, you know, he's a former MVP. He is still, in this season, averaged a triple-double again. So, you know, there's that to consider. Paul George is an incredible defender. I think we've said it before, great two-way player.
Agreed.
Melo is their fourth best player.
Yeah.
But with everything that John has said, my problem with what John just said was that, well, I'll just be honest, John. It's the blatant disrespect that you gave to the greatest of all time, the pride of Australia, Mr. Joe Ingles.
Wait a minute. John got up and walked away and missed the first half of your blatantness. Say it again.
How dare you disrespect Mr. Joseph Ingles?
He is the
best player on court.
He's
and my friend Justin Timberlake will back me up on this because I saw the pictures.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake, Renee, and Joe got together for a little selfie pose photo shoot after the concert last night.
Someone's got to stick up for Joe because Joe sticks up for everyone else.
So John, Devin's disagreeing with you. He thinks Joe Ingles wins the matchup against Paul George.
Wins the matchup against Paul George. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotta ask, how many technicals do you guys think we're gonna run into? Because I think this one's gonna get heated.
Plus or minus, Paul George gets at least two technicals in this series.
Not necessarily just Paul.
But I mean, I'm going Paul George right now. I'm just doing Paul George. John,
Paul plus, George
plus or minus.
Known for...
he's pretty level headed.
Okay, fine.
I don't see Paul George being the one. I definitely think that he'll get other guys baited.
Melo?
It's Paul, though. Yeah, he could easily bait Melo. most of their bench.
Maybe they'll Russ. Put him on Westbrook and get... Yeah, right. All right, fair enough.
All right.
Well, okay, before we move on, let's quickly... Do we want to pick winners of the series, or do we want to just pick how we see the two games in Oklahoma City go down?
I think they split.
You think they split in Oklahoma City?
I do.
Okay, Dev.
I agree.
You think what?
I think they split and that Utah ultimately wins in six.
Okay. Confident, John, on that one. I like that. I think it goes seven, but I'm with you. I think they split. It's split in OKC. And I'll go for a split. And they could surprise them in game one. That's the game I'd like them to split in. It's game two is not the one you want to split. So I'd like them to win game one. So, all right. Well, we'll see we'll see how this plays out.
It's a six-game series.
Yeah, it is. All right.
No, you just said it's seven.
I said seven.
It's six. Yeah. It's only going six.
All right, moving on. Let's jump into NBA news and notes, and let's talk NBA playoffs overall.
Okay. Houston, Minnesota. I'm happy for Timberwolves fans, but I think Houston's going to sweep that series.
You don't even think Minnesota gets a game?
No.
Wow.
The only thing I want to see out of that series is James Harden crossing up Jimmy Butler and staring him down while he sits on the floor. That's all I want to see. And then we can all tweet out, that's what I like to see, James. That's what I like to see.
I want
to
see a three-point shootout between Kat and James Harden.
I'm going with James on that one.
All right, fine. Next series.
Golden State, San Antonio. I think San Antonio will get a game or two because Pop's that good and the Warriors have been faltering. I think the Warriors ultimately do get that series, but it'll be more like five or six games.
Okay. And how about that Portland series?
I'm genuinely excited for that series.
So am I.
There's a lot of interesting matchups. You have Lillard versus Holiday. You have Davis going against Nurkic, who seems to have found himself again. I think that one's going to be a really good series. I expect that one to be at least six. Wouldn't surprise me if it goes seven.
Would you be surprised if New Orleans pulls it out?
Let's put it this way. Not really, but I do think Portland will ultimately win.
Okay. Devin, you in agreement on that? I know you're a secret Portland fan because of Lillard and all. No,
Portland's winning this series.
Okay.
It'll go five or six.
Oh, you don't think it goes seven?
I don't see it going seven. Davis will at least win them one game, but I mean, Dame and CJ, it's just too much. That backcourt, and that gets me stoked about the second round, honestly.
Versus Golden State.
Yeah, potentially.
Assuming Curry's back healthy.
With or without Curry, I would like to see Portland and Golden State match up in the second round.
Fair enough. All right, moving over to the East.
Toronto, Washington. I think the Raptors finally exercise their game one demons, and they win that series in five.
I agree.
I think it takes longer.
I just don't. I don't. Washington does not. I thought they were much better than they were while going down. They went pretty well without him. He's come back. They've struggled. I don't know that Washington is well enough together to make this run worthwhile.
I don't know, man. I don't know. You've got four all-stars in the backcourt between the two teams.
Yeah, you do.
That's going to be a fun series no matter what. And I think Toronto's going to pull it out because, you know, they've been playing fantastic all season. But it wouldn't surprise me if Washington gets two games out of this.
Yeah. Yeah, true. All right, next series you got
Boston, Milwaukee. Boston has a seriously depleted roster. On the other hand, Milwaukee is not that well coached. So, you know, my first impression was that Milwaukee wanted to fall to seven so they could get Boston. And yet it wouldn't surprise me if Boston won this series.
Yeah.
Even without Kyrie and Hayward.
That series just does not intrigue me. Is that sad to say? There's not much I'm really excited about in that series. I don't know.
Greek Feek's the best player on the floor, but
yeah,
Tatum has this chance to step up. Still a number one defense.
Well, I agree. And Stevens and Boston, there's a storyline there that's worth watching. But to me, it's just not. I mean, Devin, you disagree, but
no. I mean, you've got a lot of good young talent on that Boston team. You've got Rozier, who's played fantastic. Probably one of the best backups in the league. Let's be honest.
Jaylen Brown.
You've got Jaylen, you've got Tatum.
Yeah.
You know, you've got these young pieces. And then you've got Greek Freak on the other side. And I think this one will be competitive. I don't know. Can Greek Freak lead his team to the second round? That's what I want to know.
Right.
And the other side of that is, can Stevens continue to find success without his all-stars?
Well, either one of them is going to have to face, you know, the opponent of the next matchup we're going to talk about, which to me is intriguing, Philadelphia, Miami, right?
Yep.
What do you see in that one, John?
Well, I think it'll be close just because of how much Spoelstra is able to get out of his roster. Plus, Embiid's going to miss, if I remember right, he's missing at least game one, that could be more. And I think that will be a highly competitive and probably a really fun series to watch. Ultimately, I think Philadelphia will prevail, but I think Miami's going to make it a real series.
Okay. And then last but not least, we've got Cleveland in Indiana. And we're, no bones about it, we've always said on this podcast how much we all love LeBron. So that series to me is also intriguing to watch. There's a lot of luster that's fallen off the Cavaliers this year. So how really interested are we in any series involving the Cavs this time around? Are we?
Yeah, Cavs are going to be vulnerable from the first round on.
Right.
I mean, Indiana is a complete team, whereas Cleveland, it seems like they've never really been able to get all their parts to fit together, right? I mean, when's the last time a LeBron team was the fourth seed? So they've got some stuff to figure out. They've got their own health issues. They still have chemistry issues. I don't give this an automatic to Cleveland. I think Indiana has way outperformed expectations of everyone else. Indiana could probably do some real damage against the Cavs.
With as good as LeBron has been of late over the last three seasons in the playoffs, I expect him to be good again. Could this be a repeat of 2007 where LeBron just takes over and leads this team all by himself as deep as he can go and maybe ends up in a matchup? You remember that year he went up against Detroit? Maybe this year it's going to be he and Toronto in the Eastern Conference Final. Can we see something play out like that, or is LeBron just hitting the twilight of the career almost? Yeah, I know. You just gave me that look. Trust me, Devin, I didn't mean that.
Well, LeBron has to care about defense again in the playoffs.
Right.
And he's got a steeper hill this time. I mean, they'll face Toronto in the second round.
Right.
And that's going to be quite a challenge. In fact, I think if you're a team in the East, you got to love that you're in the 2-7-3-6 side of things.
Right.
Because it's got to be looking at that like the easiest path. I think LeBron will pay attention to defense in the playoffs. I think he will put up some monster games. It's just a matter of, will he be able to get the rest of the team to go with him?
Devin, I know you gave me that look, and you know I said that completely casually because, no, LeBron is not in the twilight of his career. He's playing his best basketball.
LeBron James in the twilight of his career. Yeah.
he's playing his best basketball. It was meant as a dig more than anything.
He's washed up at 33.
No, he's far from it, but what do you think?
What does he have, 18 triple-doubles on the season? he's led the league in points scored. He's in the top five when it comes to assists.
Didn't he average a triple-double in last year's finals and one rebound or assist shy in the year before? Like I said, he's playing his best basketball.
Look, as long as the shooters are slinging, and you know I'm talking about JR and about Korver, those guys get their shot going, then the King's going to do it the King. You know, this isn't a series, guys.
Okay.
I'm going to say Cavs in five.
All right. Okay. Do we want to touch on anything else in playoffs? I think that about covers that, right?
Yep.
All right. Moving on. I mentioned I wanted to talk on the show this week. I don't know if you had a chance to go back and listen. Episode 123. John, you did some predictions, and it included wins of some teams, specifically of the Jazz, and predictions of playoff seeding. Do you remember what you put?
No.
So I was listening, and I don't remember all of it, but I remember the three of us talking about the Jazz, and we all said the Jazz, I remember 45 being the number, and I listened to it again. For those listening, go back to episode 123, start at the 12-minute mark, it goes till the 17-minute mark. It was a 5 quick minutes. John, you came in, it was after our Vegas predictions of the week before. You said that it was 1-8, that the Jazz and Portland would be tied and battling it out for the 7th and 8th seed. You had Oklahoma City finishing as a 4 seed. You had the Warriors finishing with 71 wins as the number 1 seed. And the Spurs, I believe, were the number 2 seed. And I think you had Houston up there at the 3 seed.
Yeah, I just found the standings that I had put together.
Yeah. A little interesting to listen to. I mean, you had OKC pegged right on the money.
Yeah, and I had Denver barely missing the playoffs, and I had the Clippers actually 1 game ahead of Portland and Utah, but, you know, who knew that Blake was going to get traded and that whole thing was going to collapse?
I know, right? And who knew that Portland would just... I mean, Portland and the Jazz might have been the two best teams in the West since January. Devin's raising his hand. He said he did.
Someone doesn't sleep. I don't sleep on Dame.
Devin's been doing this to us for 2 years in a row. Don't sleep on Portland and Dame. I know, Dev. I know.
Where did I have Portland? Did you?
I don't remember.
These were my standings. I did my own standings, and then I also have our Vegas odds saved. So
we'll go over those next week, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it next week. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say next week we'll also do our regular season award picks.
Okay. Like that. I like that a lot. I just found it interesting going back and listening and hearing it. And we all had the Jazz at around 45 wins. Look at them. They're at 48. See, even with Donovan Mitchell, this was in September we recorded this. We all believed the Jazz were going to be at 45 wins. So anybody listening, yes, we all felt this way early on. Here they are at 48 wins and at the 5 seed. No surprise. All right, that should do it for our NBA talk for the week. Let's move on to some Devin quick hits.
Oh, man, I don't know that I have any more... Any more hoops hits? There's one. Let's talk about Andre Ingram. Do you like the story or do you absolutely love the story? And I know we're talking about a Laker, but let's remember he was a Utah Flash guy for like 3 seasons.
Absolutely love. John?
I love it.
Yep.
What was it, 10 years?
Yep.
10 years in the D League.
Did you guys watch the video?
I did not. I saw a couple of his highlights.
Did you watch the video, John?
I don't know what you mean by the video. I watched a 2-minute Sports Center thing on him.
Well, there was a video that showed him receiving the deal. They had the walk off interview after the end of the G League finals or whatever it was, G League year. And his representatives from the G League were there with him and saying, thank you for all the hard work. You were the best 3-point shooter in the G League this year. Cause he was percentage wise saying all of this stuff. And then Magic gets up and he says, right. And they record the whole thing and you watch the whole thing, talk about getting chills and feel good. Magic gets up and says, and we'd like to offer you your first NBA contract. And Andre Ingram just like was floored. And it was quite cool, and Magic gave him a hug, and then he and Coach Walton embraced and talked, and he talked about having worked around Luke over the years and how much he respects him and respects his game. It was very touching to watch the video.
Cool. Did they like actually sign him for next year?
I don't know.
I know it was a 10-day, but I didn't know if they gave him anything more than that.
Well, yeah, I don't remember if they did or not. Devin?
I'm not sure. So,
yeah, have to look that up.
Let's jump to the next one. Vince Carter says he's coming back another season. Is it time for Vince to hang it up, or do you still have some Vinsanity desires?
I hope if he does come back for one more year, he goes to a playoff team.
Okay,
What the point was of him playing for the Kings this year.
For the love of the game.
If he wants to, yeah, it's love of the game, sure. But I'd like it to mean more than that.
As long as Vinsanity is dunking the basketball in electric fashion, which he still did a couple times this year, bring him back. Why not?
Okay. Let's talk about the hoodie. Did you like the hoodie?
Yes.
Did you not like the hoodie? How'd you feel about the hoodie?
Which hoodies? Which one? Because he wore another one the next day too. I liked them both.
Do you like?
I like that he says he doesn't care, but then he's wearing the hoodie, and the picture is like of him like sipping coffee or something, just like no big deal, like he's Kermit from the tea commercial.
Right, right, like the LeBron hat that he had after after they won that finals a couple years ago.
Did you catch the Freudian slip from Ben Simmons when interviewed about it too?
Right, but I'm not.
But I'm not.
Come on, man. All right. Do you guys, I got to ask, did you see the video of Boban and Davis where he's just kind of playing keep away?
Yes.
Keep away. Yeah, that was funny.
Was that one of the best highlights of the year? Like, I feel like that belongs in there with like LeBron James dunk and through the legs pass and, you know, the game winners. And then there's just like keep away from.
Only if you can make a side by side video of that and Dante Exum blocking him at the rim.
It's crazy. It's just crazy. All right, quick go around. There's a few coaching spots that have opened up. Our boy Hornacek out in New York. Your friend John, I know you seem to like the guy. Frank Vogel out in Orlando.
The latest this morning, John posted was Charlotte. Dwight goes through another coach.
Charlotte?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Steve Clifford's gone.
Any others? Or is that what we have for right now?
That's what we have right now, but you also had three interim coaches where I would be surprised if any of them were given more. So you're going to have an opening in Memphis. I would assume you do in Milwaukee unless they do something crazy in the playoffs. And who's the other one? Phoenix. So those I would say you have up to six openings right now.
Okay, so of those six, which is the most desirable spot? I think we could probably rule out
that's
Phoenix and Orlando.
New York is an intriguing one, but I don't know. That's a cluster up there, though.
Right.
Yeah, you have Porzingis, though.
Yeah, you do.
You have Porzingis. You're going to get a high draft pick. Phil's not there. I mean, the owner is still terrible, but
you've got the market too.
There's still a lot of promise there. And if you go there and bring him back to the playoffs for the first time in 5 or 6 years, then you're a hero. So I honestly think New York's attractive. I mean, New York, they were just barely under 500 when Porzingis went down.
Yeah.
So they're poised. They're poised. I think that's one of the better ones, really.
And I'll agree with that, only due to the fact that there are less desirable options besides New York, and that's why it will be the top. An addition or an addendum to your quick hit here, I'm hearing local media talking that there is a potential Jazz assistant who could be looked at for possible jobs.
Oh, absolutely.
There. Igor Kokoskov.
Yeah.
So something to watch.
He'll get looks.
Yeah, something to watch very carefully the offseason.
I will say this, though. If Milwaukee goes ahead and lets go of their interim coach, that's probably the one.
That's what I was wondering.
I would agree.
Everyone's going to want.
I would agree.
Is it the New York market, you know, and being in the Big Apple, or is it
Greek Freak?
Having Greek Freak on your team.
Yeah, you know, pretty much. Greek Freak and Middleton, yeah.
Okay. Trying to think if there was anything else NBA related. I don't think so. Let's just hit a couple real quick on football. As of this morning, I believe Dez Bryant has been released by the Cowboys. If he hasn't yet, he's going to be probably by the time you're listening to this. Does that surprise you? And where should he go?
Not necessarily surprising to me. And San Francisco?
You would.
Yes, I would.
Does he have a criminal background? Because those are the players that play for San Francisco.
Hey, oh, so you're saying the guy they picked up just recently has got a criminal background? Stanford grad and all?
F does go to the Raiders.
All right,
just
fair.
Them all there.
John wins this one.
All right. Okay. And then let's talk about the thing we keep talking about. Does Cap get another chance? Because he had a tryout, essentially a workout with Seattle,
and they canceled.
And they canceled it.
Was it? I don't think he's going to. I mean, I thought Seattle was one of the only franchises that would test the waters with that, and the fact that they still didn't even carry through with it and they canceled it, I think Cap's just radioactive. No one wants to deal with it.
Well, that's where I'm disagreeing. Like I disagree with blackballing a player for taking a knee. Sorry, but I disagree with it. There may be more to it than that, but the media is making it out to be that he's being blackballed for taking a knee in the national anthem. I don't believe that that's the only reason. And if you want to go with on-field performance, fine. He did fall off the grid, but you still got to give the guy a chance. And if it has anything to do with taking a knee, that's ridiculous.
Dude, let's be honest. RG3 got a deal.
I know. I'm just saying, blackballing a guy over taking a knee in the national anthem is ridiculous. Shouldn't be.
It's just crazy to me.
I think most owners are like, yes, he should get a chance. Not on my team, but one of you other guys should give him a chance.
Right? That's so true.
That's what's going on.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And here's what I don't get. You have a guy in RG3 who's, to me, not as talented as Kaepernick is. Not as proven as Kaepernick is. And he gets a deal with the Ravens. Manziel is getting looks.
Yep.
And I'm happy for the guy. I really am. I would love a comeback story from him.
Absolutely.
But if he's getting looks, then Kaepernick should be getting looks too.
I agree.
And at least getting a tryout.
Absolutely.
Because if you're going to give the guy an opportunity, he says, hey, I'm going to take a knee. And what if he can still play? What if he's in the best shape that he's been in because he's been conditioning or whatever? You know what I mean? At least give the guy a look.
Right. I agree.
You know, it's ridiculous. And what I was commenting on earlier, and I'm sorry, Alan, I'm going to throw it out there.
Go ahead.
Is the fact that Cap is not getting a look. But in the news this week, you've got 49ers linebacker Reuben Foster, who's still on a deal after, what, a domestic violent charge?
The NFL's got to fix the domestic violence issues. I'm sorry, I have issues with this.
Formally charged on Thursday with a felony domestic violence with an allegation of inflicting great bodily harm, possession of an assault weapon, and forcefully preventing a victim from reporting a crime.
Yep.
But he's still on the team.
I know.
But you can't give the guy who wants to do a peaceful protest about police brutality issues.
Yep.
Give me a break.
I agree.
I'm done.
No. That's a great mic drop on Devin's quick hits this week. That's perfect. No, I totally agree. So, John, unless you have something else to add, let's move on to our final topic, pop culture.
I saw A Quiet Place this week. Have either of you seen it?
No, and I'm not sure that I'm even familiar with it.
I've not seen it, but I have sure seen the buzz. I mean, this thing.
Well, okay, I've seen the buzz, but I don't think I've even seen a trailer on. Yeah, I've been out of the loop.
It opened to 50 million last week.
What's it about?
Okay, it takes place shortly after there's been some kind of overrun from these creatures, and most of the population has been killed off. And they're creatures who are blind, but they have really good hearing. And so the way to survive is to not make a sound. And it starts after it's happened. And I can't remember if they said it was an alien invasion or what, but you just start on day 87 of this event already taking place and people just trying to survive. And so everyone goes everywhere barefoot and they don't talk. And it centers on this one family. Emily Blunt and John Krasinski are the parents. One of their children is deaf, so they already happen to know sign language anyway. And then they have their other kids. And it's really intense. You just spend the whole movie just being quiet and hoping that no one makes a loud sound that triggers it and has one of these creatures come after you. And it's a bit before you can really get a good look at what these things are. It's really well paced. The tension builds. I think it's probably the best horror movie since Get Out, and it deserves all the success it's getting right now.
All right. I'll have to check out the trailer and whatnot out of it. I don't know how I've missed it, but I've been out of place a little lately anyway. So that wasn't the only one you wanted to talk about. You mentioned something else.
Yeah, I saw Chappaquiddick. This is the movie that finally tells the story of what happened when Ted Kennedy drove a car off the road and left the woman to die. I've never really understood how he was able to be reelected over and over with something like that on his resume. And the movie it does a pretty even-handed job with dealing with it. Sometimes it's sympathetic with him, and sometimes it just shows that he's being kind of pathetic. It gives you a good idea of how, once the event happens, how they're able to get control of the story and kind of spin it in a way that his role was downplayed, and ultimately he was able to bamboozle the media and get reelected. I mean, something like that, there's no way he could have got away with that today. But back in 1969, he was able to. And it's very, very interesting. Jason Clark does a really good job as Ted Kennedy. Ed Helms is in a dramatic role. He's really good as well. And it was interesting. It was one of those, you know, anytime it's based on a true story, I go back and kind of read on the events, and the movie does a pretty good job going over the facts of what happened.
All right. Say the name again, because I didn't pronounce it right. And
Chappaquiddick.
Chappaquiddick. All right. All right. Anything else you want to add to top this thing off, Devin?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't either. Can't think of. We got some big movies coming up. Big movies coming up. So, John, not only do we have next week, not only do we have to talk about our awards predictions, but you've got Summer Blockbuster coming up here. We got to talk, and it's sooner than we expect.
Oh, yeah.
We got big.
I'll put together a summer movie preview, too.
Yeah, we're going to have to, because I think we've got Avengers coming up here in a couple weeks, aren't we?
Yep.
Yep.
Rampage opened today. Next week is I Feel Pretty and Super Troopers 2. And the week after that is when summer starts with Avengers Infinity War.
So next week's going to have to be a big episode. We'll talk season awards, and then we'll talk summer movie blockbusters. So, Devin, you were going to say?
I was going to say the snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
All right. So with that, it's been a heavy hitter for NBA this week, and it's, well, it should be. The playoffs kicking off right at our front doorstep. We'll thank you for joining us and being along each and every week. You know where to find us, Jedi and Germs, anywhere you listen to podcasts, on Facebook and on Twitter. We'll talk to you real soon. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.